So this is kind of a radical idea, but it's on topic for right now. I mean, we're trying to process the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, is totally part of, I mean, he's become the central character in the face-off between totalitarian and democracy in the world political scene, economic, everything, the whole nine yards. And the split is, on one side, the autocracy just wants to burn the planet, just wants to you know, they're going to, I mean, they're looters, they're mobsters, they're just, they don't, it's, there's this great scene in Goodfellas where the top boss is taking control of a bar, and they explain, you know, it's like, okay, now that we are partners in this bar, we're just going to, like, we're just going to liquidate every aspect of it. And in the end, when it's all done, we'll just burn it and get the insurance dollars from that. I mean, I'm laughing because, you know, it's a beautifully executed movie. I mean, just the story. It was one of the best movies ever made, for sure. And that's what the one side is doing. That's Putin. That's Trump. That's the guy in Brazil, Bolsonaro. I think that's how you do it in Portuguese. I think the C is like a, Bolsonaro, something like that's his name. Urban in Hungary and the guy in Turkey. These are all people that could go either way, and you know, some more than others. And Trump obviously has openly declared his allegiance to Putin. The United States, oddly enough, becomes, it's like when Next bought Apple. Although what everybody said was, no, Apple was buying Next. But turned out that was really the other way around. And this is the same kind of thing. The United States becomes a vassal of Russia. I don't know if vassal is the right word. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking with the other day with a friend about the Beatles. And, you know, everybody at the time was all, well, you know, why do the Beatles have to break up? We want more Beatles music, right? I mean, it's like really what we all felt, you know. And so everybody wanted to know why the Beatles broke up. And it's been a subject of discussion ever since. And we're still talking about it. And I said, no, the question, it isn't really a question. The marvelous thing is that it lasted as long as it did. They were together for like 10 years and they got really deep into it. I mean, they could have broken up at any one of those points. You know, they reached a lot of different milestones. There was first, they conquered Great Britain. They were, before that, they were in Hamburg. They went back to Liverpool and they were famous and popular in Liverpool, and then they grew in Britain, but for some reason France wasn't going crazy over them, and the United States wasn't either, because they couldn't convince Capitol Records to fucking publish their music in the United States. There were all these points at which they, and then there was the touring, and they, how they got fed up with the touring, because it was awful to be them in the middle of the fucking Beatlemania. You know, at first it was fun, but after a while it just, you know, it's like, you know, they had death threats. They had, people were threatening to assassinate them. Don't forget that JFK had just been assassinated a year before Beatlemania started in the United States. So they were, there was a lot of points at which they could have broken up, but they didn't. They stayed together for 10 years. And, you know, in the end, they did. My favorite Beatles song right now is I Am the Walrus, and I believe it's going to be my favorite Beatles song forever. It's just, I don't know, I think it was like peak Beatles. It was John Lennon fully expressing himself artistically, and George Martin was a big part of that, because Lennon didn't like to go very far with his music. He wrote the, you know, he wrote the words, and he came up with the basic melody, and he certainly sang beautifully on, I mean, it was, but they all played a role in it, and they invented all these new sounds that are all there for, I think, the first time in I Am the Walrus. Or maybe it's just they were done so well, maybe they never, I don't think they ever did Well, anyway, it's a beautiful song. But they went all the way to that. And then how many hits did they have along the way? I mean, it's just very rare that things like that work, you know, for that length of time. And they get so deep into it. And then you think all the different ways they could have, I mean, you know, they could have stayed the Beatles and done, you know, they could have done what they did for John. They could have done it for George. For All Things Must Pass, that could have been a Beatles album. And I've listened to it since. I always love George Harrison. I mean, but I listened to that album again carefully after having gone through this whole phase with the Beatles. And no, I wish it had been a Beatles album with George Martin. And I don't know, maybe George Martin produced it, but it wasn't a Beatles album. It was a George Harrison album, and that wasn't the Beatles. The Beatles were the thing. So maybe that's true of the United States too. Maybe the amazing thing about the United States is that it kind of worked and lived up, in some ways lived up to its ideals for some part of three centuries. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, I was 1776, right? So it's 2.5 centuries. Is that right? Yes. Bicentennial was 1770. It was 1976. I remember it. And then, but that's already a very long time ago. We're halfway to the next one. So maybe that's it. Maybe we did a great job. Maybe we're now going to settle down to some other normal at this point. It's not going to be at an equilibrium if it does. And it's not unsalvageable. I have to say, I don't think it is. Thing is, though, that we are a very weak culture in the United States, and we're not going to do well with pain, and the whole thing with Ukraine is really showing that off. I mean, the United States would have surrendered a long time ago. And, you know, I'm not saying the United States is a single identifiable thing. It isn't, you know. It's like I argued that, you know, when people talk about Facebook, they don't know what they're talking about when they talk about Facebook. They really don't. They make statements about Facebook without knowing which one they're talking about. Is it the corporation? Is it the stock? Is it the stock? Is it the founder, Mark Zuckerberg, you're talking about? Or is it one of the 3 billion people who use it? Or all, I mean, the collection of 3 billion. That's a lot of fucking communities right there. That's basically the online world. When you talk about Facebook, most of the time I think they're talking about that. As if the other things had any control over that. They kind of do have some control over it, but not. I don't think the people talking about it understand how that might work. I don't think they've really thought about it. So the United States is a collection like that. I mean, there's the United States economy, very strong. It's a reserve currency. That's why we're so strong. That's what the sanctions are all about. We're no longer letting Russia participate in the economic system of the world, and we have the ability more or less to do that. Even China can't challenge us on that. We are the reserve currency. If you want to buy something from another country, before you do that, you turn it into dollars. And then you pay them in those dollars, and then they give you the things that you bought. I'm sure there are exceptions to that, and I'm sure that, but I don't know that they're going to, that China would be willing to take rubles from Russia. I don't think anybody would take rubles from Russia. But they get a fair number of dollars in Russia anyway because they sell all that oil. So, I mean, it was a long... I mean, you see them asking this question. Journalism is asking this question about, you know, I mean, everybody... Wake me up when they actually indict Trump, okay? In the meantime, I don't really give a shit. I've known all along, you've announced it 80,000 times already, that he's guilty. All the way from the first day he took office, he was guilty of violating the Constitution. Could have been prosecuted then and there. Right there, January 20th, 2017, when he took office, he was violating the Constitution. Very clearly, should have been prosecuted. We couldn't get it together to do it. We still can't get it together to do it because we don't have a Zelensky in this country. We don't have a leader who's willing to do their fucking job to stand up to a mob boss. That's right. Their families might get destroyed. They might get destroyed. That's what mob bosses do. That's how they enforce. And we've got a big country that's run by the mob. And the question is that the end of the United States? And that's the question. Would you have believed that a Zelensky would exist based on our culture? That's the amazing thing, that there are people in the world that are willing to die for things. And, you know, it's one thing to have a person in their, you know, 70s or, you know, like me, somebody my age, I hate to say it, but I don't have that much to lose anymore. You know, I've had a kind of longish life, not done, hopefully, knock wood, not please, I'm not hopefully not done yet, but it's different when it comes to a man who's Zelensky's age. He's in his 40s, early 40s. He's a young man. I mean, relatively speaking, he's got a lot of life left in him if he takes care of himself, and he is not taking care of himself now. And that is an amazingly powerful thing to do. Yet you look at a guy like Merrick Garland and you ask yourself, why is it that Merrick Garland isn't going after the top guy? Why did the Manhattan DA cancel the lawsuit against Trump? Because somebody sent him an email saying that if you do it, you know, be careful when you cross the street, because like for the rest of your life. Also not a very old person, right? And the DA before him couldn't wait to get out of town. You know, at least some of you ask, why are the Republicans doing what they're doing? Because they aren't Zelensky either. The only person who is remotely Zelensky in the Republican Party is Mitt Romney, which is amazing. Amazing that he would be the one. But also, he's a Mormon, and he has a religion, and his religion tells him what to do, and he's very clear about that. And the religion told him the right thing to do. The right thing to do is tell the fucking truth. You know, when asked to make a decision about whether Trump should be removed from office or not, the correct answer is, oh yeah, definitely. The right answer is, that is the right, get him out of there. And he was one of very few, if there were other Republicans. Yes, there were some others in the second case, I think, that did vote to remove him. There's a little bit of Zelensky there in old Mitt Romney. What we need in the United States is a charismatic leader who can give a good speech and doesn't mind stepping out into traffic and maybe getting killed. Being really blunt, that is the $20 million question. Is there somebody who we all know, that we have a basic trust in, and that is going to stand up and take that chance? And, you know, the answer is, yeah, there have been a few. You know, Liz Cheney, for example. Great example. And the fact that she's still walking around, it's like, says that maybe we're not so deep into it after all, right? I mean, Putin does kill his legislators. And so far, none of our legislators have gotten killed for crossing Putin or crossing Trump. And that's something, isn't it? Maybe we're getting to the point right now where that's about to change. Anyway, that's all I really wanted to talk about in this little podcast. So thank you for listening. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.